These are your prayers tonight, that the Spirit of the Lord would meet with us. Yes. Written on the board, under tow. I remember when I was probably three or four years old. Actually, this is one of my first memories of Brother Vernon and his family being out in Oregon. They may not remember this, but I remember distinctly being on the Oregon coast with them. I was just a little boy and I was out playing in the water in the ocean, and I got knocked over by a wave and I fell. And the wave, as it came forward to shore, you would think that that would just push you up further on the shore, wouldn't you? But that water that comes close to the shore has to go somewhere when it gets up there. And it took me and started pulling me out, to the point that I could not by myself get back to the shore. And it might have to them, maybe I was real close to the edge, but I still remember distinctly today the feeling of desperation that I had because I couldn't help myself. And it was because of the undertow. The undertow are those currents that are underneath the surface, that all of that water that looks like it's coming up to shore, and underneath, it's going back out to sea. On the Oregon coast, there are signs warning swimmers and surfers. It says, beware of the undertow. There are signs that say there is danger. And the burden I have in my heart tonight is that I want to warn you in the fear of God that there is a spiritual undertow that is at work, and if we are not careful, we will get caught up by influences in sin and unrighteousness of things that are underneath the surface, and it can pull us away from God, and we never intended to leave God. I remember on the way home from that experience, and I don't know who it was. I don't know who it was that picked me up out of the water. All they might have had to do was just leaned over. I don't know. But all I remember was it was magnified in my mind because I almost lost my life. I was being swept out to sea. And really, I probably wasn't too far from the shore, but I was a little boy. There was a power that was being exerted on me that was stronger than the power that I had. There were influences at work on me that, as capable as everybody else might have been, it was too much for me. And I remember thinking, I have been saved. I remember, and again, I don't know whose van it was. I think I was in a van. And I still remember thinking, I was saved. There was someone I could have gone out to see, but they saved me. Tonight, there are things at work on all of our lives, and if we think that we are exempt from the influences of the world, it's probably already got a hold in our life. Because there are powers at work tonight, and it's an undertow, see? It's not something that's always on the surface. It's not based on our intentions to do what's right. But you begin to get away from the shore. You begin to get away from that place of stability in God that the young people just sang about, and you're in a dangerous place. It is the enemy's design tonight. And I got a vision as the young people are up here singing tonight of the enemy trying to draw each and every one of you away from God. There are things at work in the world. If we are not aware of them, they will subtly come in and underneath the surface start to grab us and take us further and further away from shore. Until we get to the point that we recognize I'm going the wrong way. And we don't have the ability and we don't have the strength to get back to shore in our own strength and our own ability. Dear ones, there is an undertow of sin that's at work today. And I would that all of us, it's not just the young people, but you see an undertow that it's deceptive. Because the further you get away from shore, you may say, there's nothing working. I don't feel any undertow. But you keep going out a little bit further thinking, I can handle it. There's going to come a time that people get swept off their feet and they can't handle it anymore. There have been many people that have lost their lives because of the undertow in the ocean. And I have seen many, many people that have sat right here amongst the saints, knowing the truth for many years, get swept up. and being taken over by a power that was greater than himself, and they're swept out to sea. And today we may look on their life and say, how did they get there? How did they get to the place that they are? Folks, it does not happen overnight. Most of us do not wake up one morning and say, I think I'm going to backslide today. How many of us have ever done that? But what happens is we begin to get casual. We begin to not be as diligent and careful as we ought to be. And we begin to ignore the warning signs that there is an undertow. There is an influence at work. And the more we ignore those warnings, the more power that is going to be exerted on us when we finally get swept off our feet. There are two competing forces at work tonight in your life. And one of them has preeminence. The scripture says, what I'd like is to turn and read it over in Ephesians in the 6th chapter. Over in Ephesians chapter 6, we'll begin reading. Verse 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Folks, we are in a spiritual warfare tonight. All of us are in a warfare, and there is no place, and I would that it resonate in all of our hearts tonight. There is no place for neutral ground spiritually. There is no place of neutrality. If we do not take a stand in Jesus Christ and daily be on our guard against the influences of the world, we are going to succumb to the influences of sin in our life. It's going to happen. It has happened to many a person. And I am sure tonight that if we had a testimony service, that there are many right here that can testify of times that they were spiritually caught up in an undertow. I never intended to leave God. I never intended to go out and sin like I am tonight. But it took me one step at a time. A while back, I was in a battle, and I went to the chapel at home, and I was in tears before the Lord. I was down at the altar praying one afternoon, and I was asking the Lord to help me. And I didn't really recognize what kind of battle I was in. And the Lord came along and He spoke to me and He said, this is a spiritual battle. And it changed my perspective of the situation. It changed how I began to fight when I recognized it's not this thing, it's not that thing, it's not this person, it's not that. But I am fighting against the enemy here. And through that revelation, I was able to begin to fight the enemy because that's where he was working. Folks, we are in a spiritual battle tonight. And there are forces at work in all of us. And we need to be aware of where the enemy is working. Because if we're not, the undertow, folks, it's going to get strong. There is a tide of sin that is trying to pull us away tonight from that shoreline of safety. You know, the shore is a safe place to be. It's a place of security. And you may think, I'm just having a little bit of fun. I just want to get out and go swimming a little bit. Folks, there are some places that safe, but there are some coastlines you don't want to get out there very far because there's an undertow. And it can come unexpectedly. Spiritually, it's the same way. Things that you think, I just enjoy doing it. I love the Lord and I want to serve Him, but there are things in my life that I want to do, places I want to go, things I want to imbibe in, and I don't intend to leave the Lord. But folks, we need to examine tonight what kind of influence are those things having in our life. There are many that have lost their lives over small, seemingly insignificant things. But they were the insignificant things that led them further and further away from the shore until they were overcome. Paul spoke in the 7th chapter of Romans. He spoke of the warring that was taking place in his own life. In the 15th verse, he said in the 7th chapter of Romans, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that I do. Going on down to verse 19, he said, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. What Paul was speaking about was the undertow of sin. He was speaking about the power of sin that was being exerted in his life when he thought, I want to swim that way. But folks, when there is a strong undertow at work, when it becomes stronger than your swimming ability, you can swim for all you're worth and it's still going to draw you further and further out to sea because it's got a grip and it's got a hold. That is a miserable place to be in. And I ask you tonight, are there things in your life that you would like to stop doing? Are there influences tonight in things you have been imbibing in, places you've been going, addictions that have been in your life that you know are not spiritually healthy for you and you'd like to stop? But you find that you just can't do it. And you keep making resolutions. You keep making purposes that I don't want to go that direction. I don't want to do that. Folks, you've been caught up in an undertow. And there is a place where we cannot overcome the undertow in our own strength, but we need to cry out for one who is greater than us. And so Paul asked the question, who shall deliver me? Who shall deliver me from this body of death? He said in verse 24, he said, O wretched man that I am. Why? Because I'm wanting to go to the shore. I'm wanting to be safe. I'm wanting to be secure. But there is a power. There is a strength of something that's drawing me away from God. And I just can't seem to overcome it. Folks, that's a wretched place to be in tonight. And I dare say all of us have been in an undertow. Can we confess that tonight? Have not all of us somewhere in our life begun to get caught up in something? We realize there's a force at work here and I'm not having the strength to overcome it. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I am thankful he didn't stop there. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God that there is a power tonight. In the battles that we face, there is a power that is greater than the power of sin. There is a power tonight that is greater than the influence of the world. There is a power tonight that can enable us as a people to go out into the world and still live righteously and godly. There is a power tonight that when we are being tempted, we can say no by the grace of God. But there's an undertow, and we better be aware of it. We better be watchful of it. Paul, in describing that power of sin, it was that power that was opposing God's will. And that's what a battle comes from, when you have two opposing wills. Tonight, all of us are in a battle. We are in a battle for our life, and it is a spiritual battle. Do you know the power of sin, the power of unrighteousness, that is a, in essence, it is a supernatural power. Because it's from the enemy. It's something that in our own abilities, we cannot break that power. And that is why we are so desperately in need of a Savior tonight. Because there is a power in Jesus Christ that can enable us to do what we could not do for ourselves. There is a power tonight that with all the things that we have resolved, for all of our good intentions, and we find ourselves being pulled further and further, and it seems like sometimes people get to a place, they just throw their hands up and said, I tried and I tried again and I keep doing it and it seems like there's no hope. Dear ones, tonight there is hope in Jesus Christ. There is a power. There is a Savior who can reach out when you're being swept out to sea. And He'll lift His hand out and He'll lift you up and bring you back to a place of safety. There is no need for any of us tonight to go out of these doors being caught up in the undertow. But there's a place of safety in Jesus Christ that He can break every power and addiction that the enemy has in your life. We cannot do it by our own strength. We cannot do, we can say, I'm going to try to make changes in my life. Make your changes, but you will never be able to overcome the power of sin unless you have Jesus Christ working in your life. You see, the problem with sin is a powerful force. And it takes us further and further away from God. And so many times people begin dabbling along the shore. They get off of that place of safety, of those things that are pure and holy and godly and righteous. And they think, I'm still safe. And maybe they are, but they begin to dabble. They begin to dabble and they begin to just deviate a little bit. Folks, there have been people that have professed, saying, I will never do those things. I'll never commit egregious sins like that. And today they're committing them. It didn't happen overnight. It happened because they got further and further away from biblical truth and they got caught up in an undertow. Folks, we're in a battle tonight. Do you have victory in your spirit tonight? Do you have victory in your life tonight? You see, this has to go beyond theology tonight. We can come and we can preach about deliverance. We can talk about sin. But folks, there is a reality to the saving power of Jesus Christ tonight. And to those that are saved, there is a reality of the power of God to work in your life. If you feel the grip of the undertow, and you're saying, I don't want to go out there, but I need some help. We don't need, again, you all heard me say, but we don't need to be so spiritual that we cannot acknowledge the needs in our life. If we feel ourselves starting to be pulled away, that's when we need to just say, Lord, I need some help. The Lord's not going to cut you off, but He's going to be there to extend His hand of love to you and lift you up and restore and give you power that you did not have before. See, sin takes control one step at a time. Remember Samson? I believe he was mentioned tonight. Samson was a man who had great strength and great power. I want to read to you from the 14th chapter of Judges. Judges in the 14th chapter, we'll begin reading with verse 2. Speaking of Samson, and keep in mind that Samson was a Nazarite. He was a man who had denied himself of many of the things that other people around him were doing, and he did it for God. 14th chapter, beginning with verse 2. Said he came up. This is speaking of Samson. He came up and told his father and mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. I've been looking around and I saw someone that was attractive to me. And I'd like you to go and arrange. I want to marry this woman. And his father said unto him, his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Isn't there one? Isn't there an Israelite? Isn't there someone that loves God, someone that serves God that you could marry? And this is his response. Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. I do not believe that Samson ever had a concerted purpose and desire to forsake the covenant that he had with God. Don't believe he ever intended to. But one of his first errors was he began to look beyond that place of safety. Young people, there are practical applications in this tonight too when it comes to marriage. You begin to look out to the world, you're looking in the wrong place to get a companion. It would be better to go through life single than to marry outside of the will of God. It does not dovetail with the Scripture. It's contrary to what the tenor of what the Bible teaches. If we love God with all of our heart, and He is the number one thing in our life, to go and join ourselves in the most intimate of all human relationships with someone that does not have that common love for God. You see, it's unjustifiable tonight. But do you know that there is a power and an undertow on that subject that can touch the saints as well tonight? There is an influence in society to say we shouldn't be so hard on that subject. But folks, there have been many that thing has swept away. Those that didn't intend to leave God. And they said, but she pleases me well. And the long-term effect was a falling away from the precepts of holiness and godliness that they one time held. Samson looked out and said, but Dad, I want you to get her for me. She pleases me well. Tonight, it may not be in marriage, but are there things in our life that we say, I don't have any intention of leaving the Lord? But there are some things that I know that, you know, the saints generally haven't done, and I can see where it's not the best. You've gone down this path before, haven't you? I can see where it's not the best, but you know, you really can't tell me it's sin. You know, tonight there are some things that as a body that we generally, I'm talking about, and this is a general statement now, there are some things that we generally have not done that it doesn't mean you're a sinner if you go do it. You know that? But some of the standards and the carefulness that we as a people have followed is because of the danger of the undertow. You may not be sinning if you do it, but you're getting closer and closer to where there is an undercurrent that you don't see on the surface and a tide of something that will unsuspectingly come along and sweep you off your feet, and it will take you out further and further away from the shoreline. Folks, why would we gamble with our soul tonight? The question for us then this evening is not, well, can I still be saved and do it? The question is, Lord, are the things in my life submitted and consecrated to you? And am I on firm ground where I'm at? But too many times we look at things and say, but it pleases me. And then we start getting defensive. Let me be myself, my individuality, see? I want to express myself. This is who I am. Folks, I love you all. And there are some of you have wonderful attributes and things I like. But God made me who I am too. And I don't want you to try to be Michael. And I don't want to be you. We all do have differences and personalities. But there is a common purpose of purity and love for God and holiness and godliness that all of us ought to espouse in our life tonight. And that means when I begin to defend those areas, those gray areas in my life, and I have to begin to fall back on, well, this is just who I am. I have no one in mind tonight, but I want to tell you, I've heard it too many times, you're on dangerous territory, because there is an undertow when we begin to espouse that kind of logic that I've seen many people end up very quickly far away from God. And it started with things that were not sin in and of themselves. And I would say as the ministry, we need to be careful not to preach that something is sin when it's not. But I will say when your love is for something and you desire it well, and it starts taking you away from God, that thing can turn into sin for you. Because that's the thing that has stole your affection, and it means your heart isn't in the right place. You see, the devil is so smart, isn't he? The devil's subtle tonight, but we're in a battle. We're in a warfare tonight, and folks, I want to make it. I want to make it, and folks, all of us can make it tonight. All of us can make it this evening. You know, Samson, when he ended up leaving this woman that he desired, you know who he ended up with for a while? Delilah. You know what Delilah was? She was a harlot. And Samson, in his so-called manhood and masculinity, he began to flirt. You know what flirting is? Flirting is trying to send a signal that makes someone think I could or I would, but I'm not. That's what flirting is. Is that an okay definition? That's not Webster. But that's what flirting is. I'll just entice. We just want to get it out there, kind of, so we're both aware. But then we do this. Samson thought he could handle it. Thought he could handle. I can do this. And Delilah began to ask him the question, "What is the secret of your strength?" He had no intention of telling her. But folks, through time, she wore him down. Do you know that's what the undertow of the world does to all of us? None of us are so spiritual that we're exempt from that, folks. I've been in some battles. And when the Lord comes along and says, "That's a spiritual battle," I want to take note of it. And help. It helps me know this is where I need to fight then. Folks, we are in some spiritual battles tonight on all kinds of front, and we need to recognize that if we do not see where the enemy is working, we can think we can handle it. We can think that we're going to be strong, but the enemy is subtle. An undertow is underneath the surface. And it will wear you out till you get to a place that you don't have the strength to fight it anymore. Tonight, you may be in a place spiritually that you're being swept out to sea. There's a place of deliverance tonight. You may be in a place that you're still saved, but you recognize in your life that there are some powers at work that are taking you to a place that the Lord is not pleased with. The Lord wants to deliver you from that before it's too late. You see, eventually Samson told Delilah the source of his strength, and he ended up bound. He ended up with his eyes put out, without strength. You know, you can only fight against the current for so long. We do not have the strength to go out and imbibe in the sinful things of the world and maintain our integrity with God. There is a power when we go out into the world that we can maintain godliness, but there are things we have to abstain from. And there are things that we need to guard our soul against. And it seems like the enemy would like us to get down our guard so we can get out far enough that the power of the undertow can get hold of us. We look at people tonight that are far away from God, that one time knew the Lord. Sometimes we can ask, we can say, "How did they get there? How did they get there?" It happened one step at a time. It happened when the Lord came along and He gave him a check over something that probably wasn't even sin. He said, "This isn't good for you." Has the Holy Spirit done that for us tonight? Can we just be at home here tonight? Has the Lord done that for us? Has the Holy Spirit not come and talked to your heart and said, "It's not good for you"? It is not time to start looking around and saying, "But all the others are doing it. The preacher's children are doing it. The pastor does it." That's not what we're talking about when the Lord comes and talks to you and says, "This isn't good for you." You know, the Lord is trying to protect you. He's trying to keep you in a place that He can have that one-on-one relationship. But if we ignore the checks of the Spirit, pretty soon we're going to be immune to it. And you go on long enough, and pretty soon you'll say there's nothing wrong with it, and you don't feel any guilt about it anymore, so you get out just a little bit further away from the shore. And that's what the enemy's trying to do. That's the way that people get so far away from God. One lie. One deception. Children and young people, you may think that you can cover up something and hide from your parents, and maybe you can get away with it for right now. But I want to tell you something. One lie, one deception, one cover-up leads to more and more and more. And after a while, it's like, "Well, I've done so much. I've already done all this. Then I might as well just do that because I'm doing all this other stuff anyway." Folks, that's an undertow. And it seems like there's no escape. And then the enemy comes along and tries to make us think that there's no hope anymore. Because you're so far from shore. young people and all of us tonight, there is hope this evening. There is hope for each and every one of us. And I would reiterate tonight that there is a place in the Lord that we can be in a steady place, standing on a sure ground in Jesus Christ. But we've got to watch that undertow. There are things in life that people, we won't spend a lot of time here, but there are addictions that people get bound up by. I remember Brother Carl preached on it last year, last meeting. Alcohol, drugs, pornography. You know that's right with it. Adultery, fornication, all types of uncleanness. Do you know a lot of those things, they don't start with those things in and of themselves. They start by who you hang out with. They start by not being as careful as you ought to be. They start by covering just a little something up. And pretty soon people find themselves doing something and they feel bad about it. You know, tonight, if there are things in your life that you've just done once, and it's not under the blood of Jesus, you need to cry out for help from God tonight, because the enemy will try to get his hooks in you. Don't allow the enemy the satisfaction tonight for keeping you bound up with his undertow. There is a power in Jesus Christ tonight that can break all of those addictions. I believe that tonight. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here tonight. But there is a power that can divinely intervene in the addictions of the flesh tonight. There is a power. And if you have not given in to it, but you have been flirting with ideas, and you have been flirting with the things in your mind of looking a certain direction that you know you ought not to go, but you keep looking that way, it's time to get your eyes back on Jesus Christ and get your love and your affections centered back on God, or else you're going to be swept away tonight. And next year, and 5 years from now, you may be far, far away from God. And it started when we weren't willing to say, Lord, I'm struggling. And I haven't sinned, but I have some things in my life that I'm feeling like pulling so hard. That's where we need the divine enablement of Christ in our life. There are a lot of those things I mentioned, that list. Those are some of the works of the flesh. But do you know tonight, there are a lot of societal influences at work tonight. And as a people, as some of God's people, as some of the saints here tonight, we are not exempt from the societal influences of unrighteousness that are out in the world. There are pressures. Young people, do not feel you are doing wrong if you're being tempted. Do not think that you're doing wrong because the enemy brings a thought to your mind. But it's what you do with it. And I will say, as a people tonight, even on the subject, consider the subject of divorce and remarriage. That's not something that's very popular to touch on anymore. Do you know the reason why? It's because the society has gone so far from what the Bible teaches on that subject that now even amongst the saints, all of our families have been touched by it. Has it not? And since then we start to feel, and there are so many, I look on their lives and my heart is moved with compassion at some circumstances that are out there. But it doesn't change the truth that when you have been married, and if for whatever reason there's a separation, there is to remain single until death does separate and break that bound or bond in Jesus Christ. You understand, though, that all of us then, because of our sensitivities, we can start being affected and we can't even preach on it anymore. And I'm not saying that's where we are, but I'm going to say if we're not careful as a people, we'll get there. But what about that situation? Don't you feel bad for this one? Yes, I do. And there are some situations that are bigger than I am. But the Scripture still teaches that a husband and wife are bound together in God until death separates them. That is still the truth tonight. And there are influences at work. There are other areas, so many areas tonight. You know, there is an undertow, and I know we walk carefully on this subject, but it is so prolific in our world today. And that is the subject of homosexuality. The media is being inundated with it. And you know the reason why? Because we can sit back as a congregation here tonight and say we would never go down that path. I remember years ago in a Sunday school lesson one time, people began to talk about that subject. And people's attitudes started to push the limits of the love of God. I'll just be honest with you. And I spoke up and I said, God loves all people. And the Lord loves them. He died for them and He can save them like He does any other adulterer or fornicator. Someone came up to me, and unbeknownst to me at the time, I found out later, they said, I was there. Do you know tonight the media is, we are being inundated with it, and it's not necessarily to make us live differently, but to start breaking down our defenses. To start causing us to think that, you know, you live your life, I'll live mine, we'll respect each other. Folks, I love people, but I cannot love the sin and the uncleanness that is still an abomination to God. But you see, when people, and there's something else that I see happening, people make jokes about it. It's a joking war. It's not even serious. They just call each other certain names, and it's just funny now. In the world, do you know that breaks down defenses? And we're not exempt from that, folks. If we're not careful, we may not, I don't think overnight we're going to change and become like many other churches and say, we won't teach on that anymore. But there are influences and an undertow at work. And we need to take a clear stand in the love of God. And the Lord can save everybody, folks, regardless of their sin. There is still a biblical difference between the role of a husband and wife in a marriage. There is still a difference in the conduct that a man is to have and a woman is to have. And if we begin to break down those barriers as a people, folks, I know sometimes we quote older ministers. In other words, don't blame me, I'm just quoting men. You know, it's easier just to quote someone, but I will acknowledge Brother Austin said it, and I have seen it in my own lifetime, and I still believe it, that the feminist movement has had a detrimental effect on God's people. Because there is still a place that God wants a woman to fill in the home and in the body of Christ. And there's a place that men are to be men. And if we begin to blur those lines, the Lord cannot bless that like He wants to bless. The Lord is not a respecter of persons, but I'm still a man. Whether I'm behind the pulpit or in the pew or at work next week, I'm still to conduct myself like a man. And a woman is still to conduct herself like a woman as well. Is that not Bible tonight? But do you see what the world has tried to do to make it difficult to even touch on those things tonight? Because of the undertow. And if we're not careful, our thinking will begin to be more in conformity to what the world's doing than to what the Bible teaches. 1 Corinthians in the 6th chapter. First Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9, a very familiar passage. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Folks, he said, be not deceived. In other words, don't be caught up in deception. Don't be blinded like Samson was through flirting with the ideology of the world. Be not deceived. He said, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Folks, it was a black and white statement of those that would not inherit the kingdom. It does not matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what the undertow, where it's trying to pull us as a people. The Word of God says those that do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But I am so thankful He didn't stop there. He said, but such were some of you. Oh, thank God He went on to say, though, but ye are washed. Ye are sanctified and ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Folks, if you have been caught up in some of these sinful things and you're being pulled out to the world by Him, there is a place that you can be washed tonight. There's a place of redemption for you. There's a place of restoration for you. And then Paul went on to say, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. The question I have tonight is, what power are you under? Remember the power of the undertow. What power are you under tonight? You see, something has dominion in all of our lives. Is it Christ? Does God have dominion in every area? Or does the enemy have some places that he has dominion? I will not be brought under the power of any. Tonight, sin. We sing the song, sometimes sin will take you farther than you want to go. Do you know tonight that sin, the power of the undertow spiritually, it will take you further and further away from God. Is not that where the prodigal son found himself? He never intended to end up in the pig pen. He never intended to get away so far away from Father's house. But it started with a little bit of fun. It started with a little bit of indulgence of the flesh. It started with a little bit of the philosophy and ideology of the world. And day after day, he got further and further away from God. Folks, there is a whirlpool tonight in our society. You know what? The surface at the beginning of a whirlpool, it revolves slowly. But as it pulls you down, it goes faster and faster and faster. That's what the power of sin will do in our life. The undertow of sin is strong tonight. That's why we need a Savior tonight. I am so desperately in need of a Savior in my life. Because there are influences and powers that I do not have the ability in my own strength to overcome. And I daily need the power of God working in my life to keep me in a safe place. Tonight, if you feel the forces, if you feel the influences, if you feel yourself being drawn away because of some subtle undertows, if you're not saved tonight, there's hope. What did David say? I'd like to close with this scripture. David said, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my goings, and He put a new song in my mouth. You know what songs do? Songs minister to the Spirit. How is our spirits being ministered to tonight? David said, He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it and fear and shall trust the Lord. Folks, that miry pit is something that will get hold of us and pull us further and further and further down, just like the undertow takes us further and further away from shore. But I would tonight that all of us know that God's hand is extended. The Lord loves you tonight. And you may be saved, but you may feel some of those pressures and influences, and you're starting to feel like you're falling short of the power to swim against the tide. Folks, the Lord wants to come in and minister a grace to enable you to get back to a place of security and safety. Tonight, beware of the undertow.